Our scripture this morning comes from Matthew chapter 20. Before we go there, I want to invite you to clear your minds for a moment of everything you think you know about this familiar and uncomfortable parable. This is the parable of the laborers in the vineyard. And it's one that, if I'm honest, it's frustrated me in the past, and I imagine many of us have found it frustrating, because it's that story where those who don't work as much seem to get just as much as those who have worked all day. And it goes against the grain of everything we know. And so many cases, many interpreters have spiritualized it and have said that this is all about heaven, that even those who on their deathbed proclaim faith in Christ will inherit eternal life. And I believe that's true. But I invite us to lay that aside for today, not because it's irrelevant or unimportant, but because I think there's another layer to this parable that may be a little closer to the surface than we want to admit, about justice and about the nature of grace. And so as you hear this parable read this morning, hear it through fresh ears, without the lens of eternity, but rather with the lens of real people, real suffering, real poverty, and life here and now in the kingdom of God on earth. This is what Jesus says about the kingdom of heaven, which has come near. The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. After he agreed with the workers to pay them a denarian, or one day's wages, he sent them into his vineyard. And then he went out around 9 in the morning and saw others standing around the marketplace doing nothing. He said to them, "You'll also go into the vineyard, and I'll pay you whatever is right." And they went. And again around noon and around 3, he did the same. Around 5 in the afternoon, he went and found others standing around, and he said to them, "Why are you standing around here all day?" "Because nobody has hired us," they replied. He responded, "You also go into the vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, "Call the workers and give them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and moving on finally to the first." When those who were hired at 5 in the afternoon came, each one received a denarian, one day's wages. And now when those who were hired first came, they thought they would receive more. But each of them also received a denarian. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner. These who were hired last worked 1 hour, and they received the same pay as we did, though we had to work the whole day in the hot sun. But he replied to one of them, "Friend, I did you no wrong. Didn't I agree to pay you a denarian? Take what belongs to you and go. I want to give to this one who was hired last the same as I give to you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with what belongs to me? Or are you resentful because I am generous? So those who are last will be first, and those who are first will be last." It's the word of God for the people of God. You see, we assume so quickly that this is unfair, because we hear the echoes of those laborers who had served and worked in the fields all day, crying out against the landowner, saying, "Why should they receive the same amount for working so much less?" And because of how unfair that sounds to us, I think that's why we immediately jump to the spiritual interpretation that this is just about the grace to get into heaven. But I believe that anything that we talk about in regards to our eternal salvation must also have implications for the way we live our life here on earth. Because if the kingdom of heaven is truly present, as Jesus said, and we are working to usher in the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, then these truths about justice and mercy and grace and generosity must be true here as well as in heaven. You see, people like to say we're all in the same boat. All of these laborers, supposedly in our worldview, had an equal opportunity, and yet so many of them stood around being lazy, not doing anything, If they wanted to earn a full day's wage, they should have worked a full day. But as THD student at Duke, Alma Ruiz, said this past week in a class I was in, she said that we may all be in the same storm, but we're not all in the same boat. The truth is that some people have much nicer boats, much safer boats. Some are in little canoes, barely staying afloat with a hole in them, and some are in yachts. We all face the same storms in life. We're all in the middle of this pandemic. We're all in the middle of the storms of violence and injustice all around us. We're all in the middle of the political storms. We have storms in our own personal lives, in our community, in our world. But we all face those storms from different places, different degrees of security and comfort. As George Orwell said in Animal Farm, we're all equal, but some are more equal than others. I'll give you a couple of examples of how this is true. We think about education. Everybody's got an equal opportunity to good education, but that doesn't mean that everybody, every student, has the same environment at home that would be conducive to strong education. I think of two middle school girls that I knew when I was a youth pastor many years ago. And they didn't know which house they would be going to each night after school because their mom stayed with whichever boyfriend was convenient that night. And most of the time she was passed out on his couch. Three or four different houses that they went to from week to week, night to night. It's not the kind of environment that produces good study habits and the ability to focus in school. Remember the story from a first grade teacher that was in one of my churches, and she talked about the worst student in class when he came in at the beginning of the year. He always had behavioral problems, never could get his academics up, and always had social issues. And then later on, she found out that what he really needed most was rest. Because he lived in a small house where he shared a bedroom with three other siblings who were up much of the night. Very little adult supervision because parents worked late shifts. And again, they were struggling to get their homework done. They didn't always know if they were going to have a meal on any given night. And she realized that with that kind of home situation, being able to stay awake and focus in school was near impossible. It wasn't fair to those kids to be in those situations. It's not fair that some kids go hungry on weekends when the schools are not necessarily providing the meals. It's not fair that some kids are in home lives where there is violence and abuse and pain, and yet they're expected to perform at the same level as everyone else because they've got the opportunity, they should take advantage of it. That's easier said than done. The same is true with jobs when we think of it in that regard. There was a mom with three kids that I had heard about who lived in a rural area. She was about 15 minutes from the nearest anything and about 15-minute drive from the McDonald's, which is where she finally got a job after her husband died. The problem is she had three kids all under the age of five. And so while her husband had had a good factory job out in that rural area, once he was no longer able to provide when he passed away, she had to go to work. She earned $15 an hour at McDonald's, minimum wage, only to discover that childcare averaged about $50 to $60 a day per child. That's 4 hours of any shift that she gives just to pay for childcare for one of her children. 12-hour shift just to pay for a day's childcare for all three, and that didn't include any other expenses. It also didn't factor in that childcare was not available during odd shift hours. It finally also didn't factor in that when she was all of a sudden employed, she lost her food stamps and the ability to provide for her family. So not only is she not with her kids, she can't provide for them, although she is working as close to full-time as she is able. It's not fair that she had to quit her job and stay home and go on welfare because there was no way to care for her children. It's not fair that only 49% of American workers are able to get health care at all through their employer. It's 51% that are not able to provide for those basic needs for their family through their jobs. It's not fair that so many people have to scrape together 2 and 3 part-time jobs or temp jobs or contract jobs because businesses want to find any way they can not to have to pay benefits. And then we turn to the laborers in our story. It's not fair that they were out there all day, not being lazy, but looking for work in the marketplace. It's not fair that no one chose them until last. You ever been in a team situation as a kid where they're picking teams for a pickup basketball game or a softball game or something, and there's always the last ones that are picked? Yeah, that was always me. There was one time I got picked at the beginning, and it was because it wasn't based on my athletic ability. It was a teacher-student big game of softball in 5th grade where the students who had the greatest academic scores got to play softball against the teachers. Yeah, I was picked at the beginning for that one, only to learn that it became a magnet for being bullied by all the real athletes. Didn't work out so well. Most of the time, I couldn't get picked first or even at all because my athletic abilities were not where they needed to be. This is what happens with these day laborers. They all go out there looking for work day in and day out. And the truth is, the whole system is not fair. It's not fair that day after day, all of them, regardless of how many hours they put in that day, all of them wonder each morning, am I going to be able to earn enough to put food on my family's table tonight? That's not fair. But it's even less fair for those who were chosen last, because you see, those are like the ones who get chosen last in the game. There's a reason they're chosen last. The workers, the landowners, want to pick the workers who are the strongest, who are the most physically able, who are going to be the most productive in the fields. But that leaves behind the elderly. That leaves behind the disabled. That leaves behind the infirmed and the sick. That leaves behind some of the ones that are maybe too young and not as strong. The people that need it the most are the least likely to find the work they need in that particular economy. And so the landowner flips the script. The landowner says, you know what? It's not fair that you all have to be in this situation. And there's nothing I can do about tomorrow or the whole system. But for today, here's what I can do. I can make sure that today, tonight, you have a full day's wage. I can make sure that for this one night you can go home with dignity because you have the ability to provide for your family even if you weren't chosen early on to get the good job. He offers their daily bread, much like the manna in the wilderness, always enough, never too much or too little, no matter what people were able to gather. There's an image of justice that's floated around for some years now, and I want to show it to you. It's one of the best that I've seen, this idea of equality versus justice. You see it on your screen. It's just kids watching a game. But to be all equal, they all get one box to stand on. And as you notice, that works for 2 of them, but not the 3rd. What we see in this parable is flipping the script and providing 2 boxes for the one who is the shortest, for the one who is the least able to see, and providing no box for the one who is able to see just fine without it, the one who's got the bigger boat, the safer boat, as it were, in life. Now this is just a silly image of people watching a ball game, but this is how justice works in God's kingdom. The problem is that if we're the one that didn't get a box, we tend in our culture to be more concerned about the unfairness of the one who got 2 than about recognizing that, you know what, we really didn't need it as much. There was a Yale study done on children, and it showed that children, by and large, when you gave some of them 2 cookies and some of them 0, the ones with 0 obviously were upset, but the ones with 2 were usually pretty content. And in fact, then when you took their second one away to give everybody one, the ones who one was taken away from tended to get more upset. They would rather have the two and their friends have none than for all of them to be equal. Apparently, the same is true in the primate world. The study also included monkeys, who apparently I didn't realize until this week like cucumbers and grapes. But they like grapes more, because when they gave a group of monkeys all cucumbers, everybody was happy. But when they gave just one of those monkeys a grape, even though the cucumber was much larger, all of them began to fight over the grape. The cucumbers no longer mattered. What we had was not enough, because we thought somebody else had something more. And for the one who had something more, they wanted to keep it at all costs. That's true for monkeys, it's true for children, it's true for all of us. But it's not that it's unfair to give more to those who need more. Let's look at a couple of other examples where we see that all the time and we don't think of it as unfair. You go to the emergency room and you have a broken arm, and someone comes in having had a heart attack. Of course, that person is going to be rushed to the front of the line. That's called triage. The person with the broken arm waits longer. It's not unfair to make that person wait longer because there's a more urgent need in the moment. The same is true with storm recovery. I lived in Florida for enough years to know what it looks like to rebuild and recover from hurricanes. And it's not unfair to ignore the debris in someone's yard when their house is untouched in order to go and instead focus on fixing windows or tarping roofs or providing food or shelter or something else to people who lost everything. That's not unfair to those people whose yards are going to have to stay a mess a little bit longer. We understand that there are greater needs, and that's what this landowner is showing us. There are greater needs. And he's not giving anybody more or less. He's making sure that their needs are met. In a sense, he is answering the prayer that we prayed just a few minutes ago, that the Lord would give us our daily bread. And this landowner says, you know what? If I have the ability to make sure somebody has their daily bread, their daily supply, whatever they need, then so be it. The question is, why do we feel so frustrated? Why do we feel this sense of unfairness when others who need more are treated equally? That was the worker's complaint. They weren't upset. You see, the whole thing at the end of the parable is that they weren't upset with the landowner for only getting the amount that they earned. They understood that was the contract. We agreed on a day's wage. But somehow, as the ones who came later are getting that full day's wage, greed starts to creep in. Hey, if they're getting more than their hourly rate, then maybe we will too. What makes us think that? What makes us think that we deserve more than what was agreed upon? And the problem, their whole complaint is this: you have made them equal to us. You have made them equal to us. Why does that bother us so much? There's a couple questions we have to ask ourselves. First, who is them and who is us? It could be a lot of different people in our lives who we feel like get more than their fair share. The family member who's always milking off of all the other family members. The person at work who we feel like slacks off. The person on the street begging for food. Whoever it may be. Maybe that mom on welfare that we didn't even realize couldn't afford to work because she had nowhere to take care of her kids. Who is them and who is us? And why is it so bad for them, whoever they are, to be equal? Why is it so bad for them to have what they need to make ends meet? Why is it so wrong for them to have their daily bread? And why does that make us feel less? Why is our self-worth so tied to the idea that we need to have more or better? There's no one-size-fits-all answers to those questions. But they're all questions we have to understand and wrestle with if we're going to understand the point of this parable. Barbara Brown Taylor spins it another way. She asks this question: why is it that we always assume that we are the workers who came at the beginning of the day and worked all day? Why is it that we never assume that maybe we're the ones who couldn't find the job earlier on? We never put ourselves in the shoes of those we see as lesser. And until we can identify with those workers who came last, we cannot understand grace. We sing that song, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. And we'll sing it again in the traditional way in just a few moments. But in that line, I want you to hear at the very beginning, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Now, the writer of that song understood what it meant to be a wretch. He had been a slave ship captain for many years, and he realized the sinfulness of the work that he was doing. He became an advocate to fight against slavery. And so he understood more than anybody that he didn't deserve God's grace. But how many of us wake up in the morning and look in the mirror and say, good morning, wretch? We don't think of ourselves that way. We don't want to see ourselves as the ones who came last. We want to see ourselves as the ones who deserve more, as the ones who earned everything we got because we worked harder than whoever those people are. But friends, grace isn't about what we deserve. We don't know what it means in many cases to not have our daily bread. We don't know what it means to not know where our next meal is coming from. As much as we might like more, the truth is most of us have enough. Now, there may be some who don't. And for those, I offer that you have a better understanding of grace than the rest of us, because everything you receive is seen as a gift. But for those of us who have more than enough, we struggle to understand. Paul writes to the Romans, Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin, what you earned, what you deserve, is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life. Not eternal life just for heaven, but eternal life that begins now in this life and continues on into eternity. And if we are going to live into that eternal life, if we're going to live into that abundant life that Jesus taught us, if we're going to live into being citizens of God's kingdom here and now, then these principles of justice and grace must apply. Justice and grace are not opposites. Justice is when we extend grace to those who need it the most. When we're willing to give up some of what we have for the sake of those who do not have. Justice is grace in God's economy. Justice is mercy. There's a lot of things in life that aren't fair. But the biggest one is this: the cross. Because if we truly want what we deserve, what we have earned in life because of our sin, then the fair thing would have been that we were nailed to the cross. Jesus didn't deserve it. Jesus did not sin. There's nothing fair about the cross, and yet grace is that we did not get what we earned and deserved. Grace says that death is not the end, is not our final payment. And so how can we, who have received such grace, withhold the same from others? How can we who have received our daily bread withhold from others? The truth is, friends, it's not fair. Grace is not fair. And that is the best news we could possibly ask for or imagine. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you did not treat us as we deserved, as sinners and as enemies who earned death. Thank you for the countless blessings in our lives and the ways that you provide for our daily bread. Help us to live not in a spirit of judgment or of unfairness in condemning others, but rather in a spirit of gratitude for all you have given us. And help us to look around for the ways that you are inviting us to extend your grace to those who need it the most. Help us to put ourselves in the shoes of those who came last, of those who were not picked, of those who do not have the same opportunities that we have been so blessed with. And help us to give of ourselves so that justice is done, so that everyone has what they need. Make us an answer to someone else's prayer for their daily bread. Thank you for this amazing gift of grace. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.